And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another night. Oh my goodness, another Monday Night America. Yes, of course, I'm your host, and I haven't even had anything to drink yet. And I'm about to. Let's do it now. You can guess what that is? You get a free DVD from NDB Media. And I'll even give you some hints. Starts with Mike's. Might not be lemonade either. And rather contemporary. If you eat too many of them, you get the runs. And it's a bit sour. So there are your hints. Figure it out. Good evening, good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. It is December 17th, 2018. Wow. Can't believe it. We're already in our 11th year of being on air. It's been an amazing run. We still have two more programs after this to end the year. Yes, we will be on the 24th, Christmas Eve, and we will be on New Year's Eve as well. So, but based on the time frame, I believe our New Year's Eve episode will be about to kick off the New Year. So we'll see what we're going to do on that one. No full details yet. But, of course, as I mentioned, I'm your host, Roger Noriega. I want to give thanks to Robert Summers Potterton III for his composition of our opening theme. You can find his website at rsp3.com. Of course, if you want to go ahead and call in and join the conversation, number is 914-338-0314. You can find us at ndbmedia.net, Facebook ndbmedia, and twitter.com/ndbmedia. Our email, if you want to get a hold of us, is royer@ndbmedia.net. So there you go. Casey, thank you for joining us in the chat room. Everyone else listening both live in the archive, thank you for joining us. If you're at our site now, go ahead and click on the link to the episode, and you can join us in the chat room as well. So we look forward to seeing you there. We have a lot of stuff to go over. As you know, we had the Aha Man last week. So we kind of got, shall we say, a bit behind on some of the stuff we'll go over. But, hey, it was great having him on, and I look forward to being able to catch up with some of our innatees right here on NDB Media. So we're going to have 2 weeks' worth of good week, bad week, and a few other items. But congratulations to, after winning allegedly two times before, Andres Manuel López Obrador. I don't know what is going on. My speech is just not working right now. So I'm going to take a sip of my drink. Forgive me. And the sirens you hear in the background, those are real. They're not coming for me. Mexico inaugurated their new president, Manuel López Obrador, on December 1st. He's going to be in for 6 years. He is progressive, leftist. Wow. We're going to see what's going to happen there, but I'm sure everyone in Mexico is looking forward to it. It's going to be, it's really going to be interesting. We tentatively, and remember, you're listening to Monday Night America. That means tangents? Oh, hold on, kids. Put your seatbelts on because you know I'm all over the place. I'm like a politician running for cover. I'm looking to dodge this way, dodge that way. But if there's something of interest, I'll just take that road. Some news we're going to get to in a little bit. But right now, we're going to go right into some of our favorite stuff. Of course, this is from The Week, as we find it on the internet. Wow. Only in America, ladies and gentlemen. And this stuff only happens here. Parents of elementary school pupils in affluent Dayton, Connecticut, are protesting a new ban on their on visiting their children at lunchtime. School officials say the number of parents descending on K through 5 schools every lunchtime to check on their children's well-being had become disruptive and undermine the pupil's self-reliance. The new policy, quote, feels like a punch in the gut, said parent Jessica Sue. Yeah, leave your kid alone. Come on. I wonder how many parents are showing up, though. But, hey, you got to leave them alone. A New Mexico couple who applied for a marriage license in Washington, D.C., were delayed because a clerk thought New Mexico was a foreign country. They should have fired that moron.
Gavin Clarkson says the clerk refused to accept his driver's license as ID and asked instead for his New Mexico passport. Oh, my goodness. The Marriage Bureau later apologized for the clerk's failure to recognize New Mexico's 106-year history as a state. It's not an issue of recognition. It's an issue of just flat-out stupidity. My goodness, you would think that a clerk that has to do that would know that there are how many states, kid? How many states are in the union? I know you're saying 50, right? Well, may have a little bit of news for you on that one. While there are 50 states, there really are only 46. There are four commonwealths. They don't go by like the great state of California or what have you. It is Commonwealth of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And I could not remember the last one. So right now when you're listening, if you can think about it, just think of this. When you think of the state, it's based on the old joke. Where was the toothbrush invented? It was invented in Kentucky, because had it been invented anywhere else, it would have been called the teeth brush. Yes, I am insensitive. You know this. It's not, shouldn't be a shock to you. You're listening to Monday Night America. Nothing has changed. Principal of a Nebraska, hey, we're sticking with public education tonight. There is a lot of stuff going on in the news. The principal of a Nebraska public elementary school banned all Christmas decorations, songs, and references, including candy canes, because she mistakenly thought that they were shaped like J's to honor Jesus. Principal Jennifer Sinclair also told parents that a candy cane's red stripe represents the blood of Christ, while the white stands for the resurrection. Sinclair has since been placed on leave. Oh, my God. You know, there's bereavement leave, there's vacation leave. Hey, do you know that I earn 17.24 hours of vacation a month at my job? I do. I really do. I just thought I'd share that with you. A person would know. And to even imply that the candy cane is related to Christmas, that's the very height of pagan stupidity. But there's another word for you. Go play with that one. Only in America, a Virginia high school teacher has been fired for referring to a transsexual student by the wrong pronouns. Oh, man, I'd be fired here at NDB Media. I'm sure a performance management will be monitoring my next commentary right now. Apparently, French teacher Peter Velling says that he agreed to use the new masculine name of a female-born student now identifying as male. But as a Christian, he declined to use masculine pronouns for the student on the grounds that, quote, a worldview is being imposed upon me, unquote. Wow, that's very difficult. And I envy not the teacher, poor kid that has to deal with this. But I'm glad I'm not there. But wow, dude. Wow, good job. Good job, America. We're really screwing things up when it comes to just being human beings, aren't we? It was a good week for Wiccans, who now outnumber Presbyterians in the U.S., according to a report in ChristianPost.com. Wicca, which encourages a number of pantheistic belief systems, including witchcraft, now has 1.5 million adherents, compared to 1.4 million Presbyterians. For virtual phenomenons, when news that a scientist at Malaysia's Engineering Institute are working on digital smell technology that could soon allow the users of online dating services to send odors to one another. Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow my personal Facebook feed, you know what was going on in my office today. And if you don't, you've been warned. Just remember, my office was operating on DEFCON 2 most of the day. Four. Safety reasons. Yeah, we'll call it that, safety reasons. It was a good week for female Trumps. after Social Security Administration data revealed that the number of parents naming their daughters Melania has surged 227% since 2015, while Ivanka is up 362%. Donald, however, is down 11%. Yeah, I can see that. I really can see that. It was a good week for boldly going after NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft became only the second man-made object after Sistercraft Voyager 1 to enter interstellar space. The plutonium-powered Voyagers were both launched in 1977. Fun fact, Voyager 2 was launched before Voyager 1. But, hey, that's okay. They are very healthy if you consider them as senior citizens, said project manager Suzanne Dodd. It was also a good week for restocking your yacht after the launch in the waters off Dubai of the world's first sail-through supermarket selling snacks, drinks, toiletries, and other items to yacht owners and jet skiers. Wow. It was also a good week for staying active after a 102-year-old great-grandmother became the oldest person ever to skydive. Quote, "It was very clear up there," unquote, said Irene O'Shea, after making the 14,000-foot drop from the skies over southern Australia. "But it was very cold," she said. Well, from the positives to the negatives, it was a bad week for automation after a robot at an Amazon fulfillment center this week accidentally punctured a can of bear repellent, unleashing a weave of eye and lung searing concentrated capsaicin that sent dozens of Flesh and Blood employees to the emergency room. It was also a bad week for gold after the White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders told an interviewer that she hopes to be remembered as someone who is transparent and honest with reporters. "Sarah, my comment to you is yes, do not worry. In the same vein that we remembered Joseph Goebbels, you will be remembered as well. Don't worry, mouthpiece." It was a bad week for nervous flyers as Delta Airlines announced a ban on passengers bringing emotional support animals on flights longer than 8 hours. Delta said it had experienced an 84% rise in unpleasant incidents involving support animals, including urination, defecation, biting, and even a widely reported attack by a 70-pound dog. Folks, people are getting – excuse me, I'm going off on a tangent here. People are getting away with calling animals comfort animals or support animals that are not trained in any way whatsoever. I believe they need to clamp down on that, be some agency that should be able to, I don't know, you know, determine what would be a good way to get animals that are actually trained. But, you know, whatever. What can I say? Oh, by the way, while we're talking about it, we still have our giveaway, How to Train Your Dragon 2 on Blu-ray and HD. So don't forget, when you hear the code word later on in today's program, go ahead and email us at roger@ndbmedia.net. And don't put the D in there. It's not Rod, sure, it's Roger, or more like Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at ndbmedia.net. Once you hear the code word, tell us who you are, where you are, so we can mail the Blu-ray DVD and the code word. Don't forget that. Wow, the heater's on very high. Let me lower it. There we go. I was almost burned in my own office. Go figure. It was a bad week for tingling, with reports that the former band of Vermont's Air National Guard was forced to retire because he used an F-16 to pursue an extramarital affair. Men used the supersonic fighter jet to fly to Washington, D.C. to see a woman who he was, in a gushing email, quote, "always makes me smile and tingle," unquote. It was a bad week for astronauts, with the discovery of unknown strains of drug-resistant bacteria in the toilets of the International Space Station. NASA said the bugs are, quote, "not an active threat, but need to be monitored." Wow. It was a bad week for convenience after the residents of two retirement villages in Brisbane, Australia, protested plans to build a crematorium adjacent to the facility. "We all know where we're going to go at some time or another," said resident Warren Wells, "but we don't want to be reminded on a daily basis every time we go shopping." Yeah, that's not good. Come on, guys. Let's be a little more sensitive there, huh? We really didn't talk about it, but we know that President George Herbert Walker Bush passed away, and his services were actually 2 weeks ago now. Yeah, it wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks. Actually, we did speak about it on that other Monday night program, so it's all good. Just remember, politicians are politicians, folks, and you have to measure what they did and what they didn't do, and it's for you to determine whether they were a good person or not. We all do bad things, and we all do good things. And in the case of this leader, the former president, George Herbert Walker Bush, when you think of the circumstances of him being in office for 4 years, knowing what he had to deal with as a leader, he got a lot of stuff done. There was a lot of legislation passed. As a matter of fact, and I believe I did mention this earlier, that in the 20th century, the only president that passed more legislation was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. George Herbert Walker Bush was able to cross the aisle. It was a democratically controlled Congress, and he got stuff done. He also bit the bullet, his famous "read my lips, no new taxes," and he had to. He had to shore up the economy, and they kicked him out. He had a 90 approval rating, and within a year, he had lost the election. Unbelievable. I guess it's all having to do with your wallet. So be it. Don't know if you heard about it, but in Torrance, California, and, you know, it kind of bugged me because I know of a convict that's in Torrance, but it turned out not to be them. But I believe the school, I thought the school was in, like, along the coast or something. But anyway, apparently some nuns were gambling, and big time. Bowing to outraged parents, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles endorsed criminal charges this week for two nuns accused of stealing as much as $500,000 from a Catholic school. Sister Mary Margaret Cripper and Sister Lana Chang retired early this year from St. James Catholic School, where Cripper had worked for nearly three decades, most recently as principal, and Chang for 20 years as an eighth grade teacher and vice principal. A routine audit revealed that tuition fees and donations had been siphoned off for at least 10 years. The nuns apparently Las Vegas casinos. They admitted to the theft and were placed under canonical restrictions by the Sisters of St. Joseph Carondelet, which committed to repay their funds. "We've not been sleeping," said Debbie, one of the five children of St. James. Sister Lana preached to those eighth graders every day that there are consequences to their actions. And first of all, look, I do apologize. You know, I'm live, and I do use my phone to call in, but I find it terribly amusing and annoying when people call me when I'm live. They only call me when I'm live, and it's just unbelievable. And I am. I'm live right now, and there's nothing I can do. So give me a quick moment while I'm slightly distracted. Actually, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to see what's going to happen right now. So I'm going to go to a quick commercial. Hold on one moment.
Hi, this is Andrea Gabriel, and I'm keeping abreast of all shenanigans on NBB Media.
Hi, this is Playboy Playmate Devin DeVasquez, and I love listening to my guys on NBB Media.
Sorry about that. We do apologize. We're going to go ahead and continue. Like I say, it's just amusing to me when I am live and I have to deal with stuff like that. But anyway, looks like the issue may be resolved right now. So what was I talking about? The nuns in Torrance. Yes, forgive me. Well, don't know if you heard, but a Russian operative, Maria Butina agreed this week to plead guilty to a charge that she infiltrated the National Rifle Association and ingratiated herself with Republican leaders on behalf of the Russian government. Arrested in July, Butina, 30, said she was a gun rights advocate who moved to Washington, D.C. in 2016 to attend graduate school. But after nearly 5 months in solitary confinement, Butina told prosecutors that she was directed by a Russian official to advance Russian interests. You know the rest of the story. You know what's going on. It's really, really bad. But, you know, folks, this whole Russian intervention thing, when you look at it and it's bare bones, do you understand what it really is? They purchased advertisements on Facebook. They purchased advertisements on Twitter. They purchased advertisements throughout the internet. They did it to dupe Americans when it comes down to it. People believed the advertising, the inane advertising that was presented to them. What does it say for a country? They rely on their social system or their social network for their news to make serious decisions. Now, whether it affected the election or not, that's I'm not smart enough to tell you. I'm not smart enough to give you an answer. I will give you an opinion, not today. But my goodness, come on. Why do you rely on advertising or you see posts on Facebook for you to make a decision? Seriously. And many people were duped. And that's the Russian intervention. They purchased advertisements to get people to influence them one way or another. It is illegal. They cannot do it because some rules that you cannot benefit from foreign powers, whatever, blah, 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 and stuff like this. But that's what happens when you have monies that are covered up, when you don't know who's donating. At one time, if you donated money anywhere or anything, your name went on the list and people could find out. Now with all this dark money that is given to these PACs to spend, we don't know where the money is coming from. Parties are to blame on it. Otherwise, they would have put an end to it. And with Citizens United, corporations now can do whatever they want because they're people. The reason why we have corporations is because people do not live forever. Corporations can and do. What? All right. Anyway. Sorry. Sidetrack. Anyway, remember the demonstrations last year in Charlottesville, Virginia? Apparently, a jury this week recommended that avowed neo-Nazi James Fields serve life in prison for plowing his car into a crowd of counter-protesters at a white supremacist rally in August of 2017, killing Heather Heyer, who was 32 at the time. The same jury that convicted Fields was 21 and 10 counts, including first-degree murder, recommended he serve life plus 419 years and pay $480,000 in fines. The judge will formally sentence Fields in March. "I don't hate him," said Heyer's mother, Susan Bro, "but my God, the kid's messed up. He needs help. Put him away. I'm sorry, he should not be in society," and I think the jury could see that. The jury found that Fields purposely rammed his Dodge Challenger into the counter protesters at the Unite the Right rally, a white nationalist gathering that ended in widespread mayhem and ignited national condemnation, if not worldwide condemnation. Wow. That's really sad. Once again, everyone in the chat room, I want to thank you for joining us. If you want to go ahead and give us a call, the number is 914-338-0314. And we're going to go ahead and move on. I am without my computer, my gaming computer, my really, really nice computer, my super fast one. It's just not here. And I don't have it right now. It's being fixed. And while the program was live, I was receiving messages that the computer is working now. We shall see. Anthony Selva, my classmate, my IT guy, got it done. So It's good. I am relieved, at least, when it comes to that. Fiends going around the world. Wow. Maze Bricks, a challenge. This woman, she survived no confidence vote, so she's still in the game. But apparently a court in the Netherlands ruled that Great Britain has until basically the last second to reconsider, and it doesn't matter. They can just say, you know what, we want back in. So for those of you that went to Magic Mountain in Southern California back in the 70s and 80s and you rode the revolution, exit is open again. There you go. You can just chicken out and just take the exit. I think it's kind of cool. But we'll see if they have the nerve to move on forward. Closer to home here in Los Angeles, don't know if you know this, but Animal Care and Control is going to have a event on Saturday, January 5th, 2015, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Peninsula Center Library Community Room, 701 Silver Spur Road, Rolling Hills Estates, California, 90274. And it's talking about kittens needing your help, trained to be a foster parent. And this is directed at individuals who are 55 or older and are able to open their homes for a few weeks to nurture kittens. Foster training, supplies, and home delivery will be provided to older adults willing to become foster parents for 4 to 6 weeks old kittens. For more information, visit animalcare.lacounty.gov. And for more information, call 562-256-7112. Kittens need help. That's a good thing. Over the last few days, over in Pasadena Unified finalizes a $10.1 million in cuts, but the financial hardship isn't over. In California, well, no, actually in LA County, we have some interesting rules in the educational system here. And I'm just saying interesting because I don't pretend to know all of them, but what I do know, they're incredibly complex. If you think that balancing your checkbook is something, wow, let me tell you how it works here in LA County. The LA County Office of Education, otherwise known colloquially as LACO, audits every district in LA County on a regular basis. I believe it's every 3 months. And that's so that they maintain the financial strength of the district. And how do you do so? Well, think of the year that you're in now. We're in the 2018-2019 school year. Every 3 months, the district must provide a report on their spending and their receipts for this year and their budgets for the next 2 years. Rather complex accounting, but for those of you who are number crunchers, myself included, it is some exciting stuff, but it's very difficult. And there are several districts, I'm not talking about Compton Unified, that's a whole other thing. I believe it's still in receivership. I believe California is still running that one, but anyway. The state, I mean. Pasadena Unified has had a $10.1 million. But the issue is not over with them. I'm going to change. We'll cut 6 more full-time staff positions. It's crazy in Pasadena. The cuts at Pasadena Unified are over for now. After the school board sent its report outlining millions in cuts to the Los Angeles County officials today, or Thursday, I should say, last week. But tough financial decisions are far from finished. The board voted 5-2 to send to the LA County Office of Education a financial report outlining the $10.1 million long-term cuts it voted on in recent weeks. The county office ordered the cuts out of concern that Pasadena Unified would be unable to meet the state law that requires school districts set aside 3% of its money, or in this case, $6.6 million, into a rainy day fund in the 2020-21 school year. Pasadena Unified School District risked a county takeover if failed to make these cuts because they must have 3% saved. It is a big deal. The most obvious cuts will come when Cleveland Elementary School closes next year and its 100 students and programs are transferred to Washington Accelerated School. Others include layoffs and changes to the procurement process. A last-minute attempt to save $1 million by renegotiating a contract for Chromebook computers was swapped for additional layoffs that interim business chief Eva Lusick, or Lewick, said are limited to the need or are linked to the need for fewer teachers because of declining enrollments. According to school district documents, the layoffs will affect 4 full-time positions in 2019-20 and 2 more in 2020-21. Michelle Richardson Bailey and Kimberly Keene were the 2 no votes. Bailey said she couldn't support the report out of principle because she voted against a third of the cuts it outlined. Keene's vote was informed by the look ahead, she said. So, PSUSD is not out of the woods. A subcommittee will study what Superintendent Brian McDonald refers to right-sizing the district, including the possibility of consolidating and closing schools in the future. Meanwhile, the district will need to contend with continued declining enrollment, increasing special education costs, workers' compensation costs, and the financial strain of operating smaller schools. On the broad side, a committee of Pasadena City Council and school board members are set to come together to discuss how the district should get its share of recent sales tax hike. Right around the corner in our old district, LA Unified School District, wow, a big thing happened this weekend. A lot of educators went out on strike. Thousands of LAUSD teachers marched downtown as union moves closer to calling for a strike in nearly 30 years. Los Angeles, we should not have class sizes of 45 students, UTLA President Alex Caputo Pearl told the crowd from a truck's flatbed, adding that after 20 months of bargaining, the time draws closer to taking dramatic action. Around 11 a.m., the marchers, most wearing the bright red in support of UTLA, walked down Broadway and through the 3rd Street Tunnel up to the Broad Museum to protest the role that they say billionaires such as Eli Broad are playing in the growth of charter schools, most of which are not unionized and pull students from district schools, and of course take the money. The tunnel boomed with echoes of UTLA, with protesters stretching back to the starting point, although not all participants were UTLA members themselves. The turnout was a reminder that Los Angeles Unified, the nation's second largest school district, and more than 500,000 students, would be starkly affected if a strike does happen. The crowd was full of union families, some of which included LA Unified students, who said that they too will strike if their parents and teachers do. Wow. Toby Smith has been a dance teacher for 14 years and said she works with 2,000 students, form connections, and addresses needs with so many students, she said. The district's latest proposal offers a 3% raise starting retroactively July 1st, 2017. Followed by an additional 3% raise taking effect July 1st, 2018. The union wants a 6.5% raise retroactive to July 1st, 2016. LA Unified officials say their offer would increase district costs by $430 million over the 3-year life of the contract. They say the union demand would cost $750 million over the same time. Teachers in LA Unified earn $44,000 to $86,000 a year, depending on their education and experience. According to the LA County Office of Education, which compiles the data, LA Unified says the average teacher salary is $75,000. Wow. Which reflects the district's older, more experienced workforce. Pretty serious. A lot of teachers looking to go on strike. I remember demonstrating with UTLA, the red shirt, back in 2005 when Governor Schwarzenegger went after public employees, myself included. I remember I was at the big event in the summer. I was at Pershing Square. We all got together to demonstrate big time. I think it was Proposition 74, 75, 76, and 77 that were against public workers. And it was horrible. It was terrible. I wear the purple shirt. Educators wear the red shirts. And I believe Unite LA, those are the yellow ones. But they're generally custodial in the downtown area. Service workers. I forget what their colors are. I don't think they're red. But anyway, some serious stuff going in LA. And I'm reaching out to educators that I know, both as acquaintances online and people that are here at NDB Media and others. And I'm looking to have a forum on the state of education within the next, I don't know, 3-4 weeks. I'm looking at sometime around January 12th. I want to have a few that would join and talk about education, where we are today, and what these educators, at least two from the Los Angeles area, and I'm hoping for one from the East Coast, and we can hear from real educators what they have to deal with and what their responsibilities are, what their goals are, and talk about the state of education today. And we might even go back to when they themselves were in the educational system as compared to today. I'm looking on doing something early next year, maybe the second week in January. I don't know why I'm thinking of January 12th, but for some reason that's sticking in my mind. I don't know why, but I'm getting old. Let me see what my calendar says. Today is the 17th. Probably around January 14th. So that might be a holiday. Forgive me a moment. My voice is starting to go again. I don't know why. But I'm going to go to the queen of NDB Media, the woman herself, our love. Here she is.
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey! Oh, man!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Thank you, Betty White. I just love that commercial. I know it's a bit on the immature side, but as far as kids are concerned, it's darn funny. But anyway, as I was saying, I'm hoping to have an educational forum where we can find out where we are, hear from real people as to what's going on, and get the word out, get it going. These teachers are going on strike, and they're going on strike for a reason. They haven't seen raises. They haven't seen an increase of support from management to get the job done. And there has to be some issues that have to be resolved. Again, if you see classes that are 45 kids, man, I've been to meetings with 30 people and I'm like lost. I mean, not lost per se, but I'm lost in the crowd. I'm trying to say, it's crazy. I can only imagine what it is for children like that, for educators. I humbly spent time years ago. I was not an instructor. I was not an educator. I was privileged to be able, for several days a week, for many years, actually, I started in the seventh grade. How old was I? Was I 11? Wow. I think I was 11. Maybe 12, and I was instructing first graders on my faith. But I wasn't instructing them. I take it back. I'm not an educator. There's only one teacher. And that's biblical. For me, I was sharing what had been shared with me. And when I was 11, it wasn't that much, but it was easy. They were first graders. So you taught them to pray. You shared with them how to do that. And as I went to school, high school, I was fortunate that I attended the seminary, Our Lady Queen of Angels Seminary in San Fernando, which is now Alamany. So my school actually isn't there anymore. But I was studying to be, and a lot of you know this, a lot of you don't. I was studying to be a priest for a short while, just my high school years. I did not go on another day. But it wasn't my choice. I was told to take time off. And I still am, apparently. But, you know, it's funny. You know, people ask me, oh, so did you become a priest? What part of I married for 25 years and two daughters did you not get? I'm just curious. What part of the conversation you didn't get? Anyway, I love that. And I guess I love acting out the part of, what were you listening? But anyway, I am way off on a tangent. I was able to share with children, not much younger than myself, the faith that had been shared with me. And I was fortunate because I had a booming voice. I was able to maintain control and order. And I was able to speak their language. I was only a few years older than them. And yes, sometimes I would lose them with some of the high concepts that I was able to study. Yes, I did study several languages, and I did study religion, or my religion, and I was fortunate. I also had the chance to study other belief systems as well. And that's some of the most precious time that I had in seminary, is looking at life from another person's point of view. And I try to be open to that in all of my dealings today. I do it at work. I do it in my side business. You know what I have. I'm also an Uber and Lyft driver. I try to consider it. When I'm driving, I try to consider my passenger's point of view. When I'm sitting behind my desk, I try to consider the person that's sitting in front of me, how they see it. And when I talk about educational issues, while I don't understand all of it, I do know that educators who are in the front lines need to share more what the issues are that they have to deal with. And that's why I'm looking forward. It's in the back of my mind right now what I want to do with this forum, but I want to make it an ongoing conversation, and I'm looking forward to it. And that is the code word, forum. So for today's episode, the code word is forum. You just heard it. Fire off an email, send it to us at roger@ndbmedia.net, and we're going to put you in for How to Train Your Dragon 2. So there you go. Send it in, guys. Come on. I'm not going to admit as to how many were already turned in, but you guys need to come on in. Anyway, send us your submission so we can give away the Blu-ray. It'll be a lot of fun. I forgot to mention, I started this a few weeks ago. Yes, I'm on another topic now. It was a tradition that ended up on my desk back in 2011, birth of a new tradition. As the holidays approach, factories across the world are kicking into high gear to provide Americans with monstrous piles of cheaply produced goods, merchandise that has been produced at the expense of American labor. This year will be different. This year, Americans will give the gift of genuine concern for other Americans. That's not phrased exactly correct, but whatever. There is no longer an excuse that at gift-giving time, nothing can be found that is produced by American hands. And yes, there it is. It's time to think outside the box. Oh, boy, here we go. It almost, it's pejorative in nature, but I'm sure someone will hear me say that and reprimand my use of the word. Who says a gift needs to fit in a shirt box wrapped in wrapping paper from another country? Everyone, yes, everyone gets their hair cut. Think about that. Even I, who am bald. How about gift certificates from your local American hair salon or barber? That'd be kind of cool, don't you think? A gym membership? You know, you're not going to use it anyway, but it sure makes a hell of a nice gift. But if you're giving it to someone who's a tad overweight, there may be consequences. It's the thought that counts. It's appropriate for all ages who are thinking about some health improvement, like myself. Who wouldn't appreciate getting their car detailed? A small American-owned detail shops and car washes would love to sell you a gift certificate or a book of gift certificates. Are one of those extravagant givers who think nothing of plunking down their Benjamins on a flat screen? Perhaps that grateful gift receiver would like their driveway sealed, lawn cut for the summer, or driveway plowed all winter, or games at a local golf course. Oh, they mentioned golf. I love golf. Yeah, right. There are a bazillion owner-run restaurants all offering gift certificates. And if your intended isn't the fancy eatery type, how about a half dozen breakfasts at the local breakfast joint? Remember, this isn't about big national chains. This is about supporting your hometown Americans with their financial lives on the line to keep their doors open. How many people couldn't use an oil change for their car, truck, or motorcycle done at a shop run by just a working guy or girl? Thinking about a heartfelt gift for mom? Mom would love the services of a local cleaning lady for a day. My computer, oh, yes, it's, this is actually, this is, I'm doing this right now. My computer could use a tune-up, and I know I can find some young guy, well, he's older than me, who's struggling to get his repair business up and running. And yes, I am doing that. I'm keeping it local. Looking for something personal? Local craftspeople spin their own wool and knit them into scarves. They make jewelry. Hey, you know who I'm talking about. Jewelry? Our own. Oh, my goodness. Where's her ad? There it is. Listen to this one for the jewelry.
Hey, hey. It's Shy Rosalyn, and I'm inviting you to visit my new shop, Pond's Edge Designs by Rosalyn Brunson. My motto is fun, funky, and affordable. Wearable art for men, women, and even home decor items. All handmade in the USA, every item one of a kind. Don't be shy. Stop by. PondsEdgeDesigns.net.
And right here, and if it sounds like me, yeah, I recorded it.
Cedar Point Concepts specializes in the development, management, and hosting of small business and personal web systems. We believe that a professional and functional website should also be affordable. Our hands-on approach keeps you in the loop as we offer you as much control over your site to suit your needs. Don't let the cost or fear of computers keep you from starting your own internet business. Through the use of open-source software and popular web applications, we are able to offer you a clean, professional, and easy-to-use site at an affordable price. Whether you're looking for a single-page information site or a complete user system, we have a solution for you. CedarPointConcepts.com.
Do you need more Christmas lights? Seriously? How about just give those bucks and leave the mail person, the trash guy, or babysitter a nice big tip? Christmas is no longer about draining American pocketbooks so that another nation can build another glittering city that's probably going to be empty anyway. Christmas is now about caring about the U.S., encouraging American small businesses to keep plugging away to follow their dreams. And when we care about other Americans, we care about our communities, and the benefits come back to us in ways we couldn't even imagine. This is the new American Christmas. Keep it local, folks. I do believe it. I believe in spending locally, and it's a good thing for all of us. If a business around your neighborhood is doing well, that means they probably are employed. Your neighbors, friends, family, whatever. It's a good thing. These big, massive chain stores, no. Stay away from them. Spend the money locally. I know it's tempting. Free, you know, what is it? Postage or delivery. I know that's tough. But instead of buying that big item, why don't you get a whole bunch of other little things that would keep us all doing better. I know a nice big 70-inch TV is really nice. Think of what that would do if you translate that same amount into a bunch of other little gifts. It'd be good for America. It would be good for us. It would be good for you. So, I'm going to keep that one going for a little while longer, at least for this season. I'm going to keep it going here on NDB Media. Just think about spending locally, folks. We all win when we do that. So, I know the little guy over in North Korea is pissed off because apparently the United States is, you know, crippling or putting sanctions on some higher-ups over there. And North Korea is threatening, hey, you want to denuclearize? Well, you're threatening that. So he admitted it. He admitted denuclearization. So they're getting antsy. They're getting angry. So I guess we'll have to worry about that moving forward. I also know that, oh, it was on the tip of my tongue right now. There's another thing I wanted to mention, but it flew away. What was it related to? I do not remember. It's not in my notes. I was remembering it right now. All right. I know the president is looking for a new chief of staff. I believe Mulvaney, the head of the Consumer Protection Bureau. And I don't remember. I think he's the Office of Budget and Management. He's going to be the acting chief of staff for a short while. Mr. President, I volunteer to be your chief of staff. I'll do it. Let me do my job, and I promise to serve the American. I promise to serve you and the American people. I'm good at telling people what to do. Do it. Keep things in order. And then he could govern effectively. I know I disagree with number 45 on numerous things, but doesn't mean the job couldn't be done effectively. But anyway, I just throwing that out there, Donald. If you need someone to assist you with the chief of staff position, I'll volunteer right now in a heartbeat. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have covered quite a bit right here on Monday Night America, and I want to thank you for spending time with me again. I thank you for the numbers. I see that people are listening, and I appreciate it. Our numbers are a bit down on the emails. Maybe it's the holiday season, don't know. But, yeah, over the years, I do remember numbers. At least the responses are lower at this time of year. But don't forget us. We love reading your emails, and we read what we think are the funny ones. Send us a joke, and we'll read it on air. Doesn't matter who or what. And if you want to include me in the joke, hey, no problem. If I find it funny, I'll read it on air. So, in the meantime, it is the holiday season. Happy Festivus. Happy Merry Christmas. Happy Robonica. Did I say that one already? Yeah, you Futurama people, you know that one. Oh, my goodness. There's several. Oh, I'm forgetting the others. I'm getting old. So forgive me. I think I got it right last week. I'll get it right next week. I'm going to have to write in my notes to make sure. But happy Hanukkah. I know that one, I believe, just passed. It's over. And then we have the other one, which is the end of the year. Oh, my goodness, I cannot remember that one right now. But all right. Hey, happy thoughts, folks. They're directed at you. And I want to thank you for bearing with us. We're in our 11th year here on NDB Media. Following me tomorrow, as you know, is one of our other programs, which I cannot remember. My memory is going. Jesus. Fandom Access. Same time, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 Eastern, is on tomorrow. And I do know that the Rock and Roll Shrink will not be on this week, but they'll be on the week after. So check it out. We've got some other stuff going on at ndbmedia.net. You can find our calendar, all of our other programs, and you can find them on Facebook, NDB Media, at NDB Media on Facebook. Edge of Reality is on December 20th. So check it out. And we have some programs on during the holiday season. For those of you that I don't or won't hear from you next week, Merry Christmas. And hopefully everything's going to be good. Guys, take it easy. Be strong. Safe. And don't do anything stupid. All right, guys, we're out of here. So say we all, peace always.